Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
His name is Coach Jermaine Johnson. We go way back. I'll tell you that story someday. Is now University of Memphis assistant coach. He joins us now. Coach Johnson, you still sky high off the NIT championship victory? Or are you back to work? You just grind.
I'm back to work, man. Yeah. Hey, man, back to the grind, man. Can't got to fight complacency every day. That's the culture that we set forth, man. And so, yeah, we're back to work.
Well, before we get to the work, and listen, I know the fans certainly appreciate that. It's the first time we've had you on, obviously, since you guys come off that championship. What was this year like, Coach? I know that's a broad question in terms of everything you guys went through, your experience in your first year on the staff, but you go into this year, Penny's saying publicly, yes, I got Jermaine, maybe for one, maybe it'll be for more. What was this year like for you, Coach?
It was a process. You know, I've always lived upon the mantra, the process comes before the promise. But most people don't want to go through the process. And so to embrace the process, to go on this journey, has been an awesome experience because I feel like I was prepared for it. I was ready for it. And I took advantage of the opportunity by going through the process.
Jermaine, what was the most rewarding piece of the season? Like, I know we look at the NIT, the championship, right? But it took a lot to get there. What was the most rewarding piece of the entire year?
Well, that's a great question, John. I'm going to answer your question, but I feel like I'm at the Apollo, man. Just been waiting for this moment, man, to come to the Apollo.
No, nobody's even buying that smoke up in here, Jay.
No question.
Yeah, you can spend that on the recruits y'all getting right now.
But we don't have any eligibility, JJ, okay? So you don't have to even waste your time.
Said the Apollo.
Don't waste your time.
No, but, John, to answer your question, man, I like to reference your question. It's like Noah didn't get rewarded for predicting the rain. Mm. He got rewarded for building the ark. And so when you talk about this season, I felt like the foundation, the culture. Coach was really, he always talks about creating the culture, embracing the culture. He was really able to set the culture, how he wants this program to be in the long run. And so just to go through the obstacles that we had to go through, the setbacks, the failures, it was all worth it in the end because we was able to say, you know what, we overcame, we bonded, we lost some. We stuck together, and in the end, we was able to accomplish something that hadn't been done since 2002.
Well, you know, to that point, like, and this is something that Penny really has done year after year at Memphis. In 2019, it was sort of the fallout there with James. He kept that team together. They won 20 games. This year, you guys are 6-5, took some tough L's, and you respond incredibly, right, after that 6-5 start. So is it about the guys you recruit? Is it about the culture that you put in place that allows you to sort of get off the mat? Like, what is that that sort of allows this program to have the resiliency that it has shown when times get tough?
It's leadership. I mean, think about it. He'll tell you. You know, he came in from just going through the grind of being from a NBA megastar, superstar, Olympian, then going to coach middle school basketball, grassroots, then high school basketball. Now you're a head coach at a Division One, in our opinion, Power Five, Power Six school. That don't happen too often. I mean, I was here when Calipari was here. I worked with Coach Cal. So we won the NIT in our second year at Memphis with Coach Cal. Went to the Final Four our first year. We didn't get to the NCAA tournament to 2002 and 2003. And so what Coach has done is somewhat on a similar path. And if you look at it, if you take away COVID, who knows? Could they won the AAC tournament last year? They had the talent to. Could they won the NIT last year? So what you're building on and what he is really be able to land the foundation of his culture is paramount, because this last summer, this last spring, you didn't really have recruitment. You had to recruit. I like to call it a digital recruitment, physical and digital, that you have to Zoom and Microsoft Teams, and they're believing you as a person and then your staff without visiting the campus, without getting a feel for the hanging around the players. So it's tough. And so to have a recruiting class where you got some returners that have been through the process, been through the rain, been through the storms, and to bring those pieces back to add on some experience, you were able to move forward. And now going forward is laid, the ones that stayed. And so I think it's headed in the right direction, fellas.
How did you earn their trust, Jay, in the sense that, right, you come in late. Coach, if Nolan gets the job, then Jermaine Johnson, not in that, with that assistant spot at least. So you come in late, right, and I got to imagine, I'm putting myself in your shoes. Man, I grew up in Memphis. I'm on the assistant coaching bench with Penny Hardaway. That's something I want to be doing for as long as it's going to take me, and maybe to a head job or whatever. Mm-hmm. How did you sort of avoid, right? Maybe feeling that not doing too much, right? That there's a line that you don't go into that thing and try to overcoach, because then, Coach, I got to imagine you're going to rub some guys the wrong way. That line of earning their trust, all that kind of stuff, not putting too much pressure on yourself. Right? Because, I mean, you don't know if you'd be here. What was that like?
It was good, because I was taught long ago, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Okay.
And so when I came in with a caring mindset, I care about you guys. I care about what you're doing outside of the 94 feet. You know, I care about your goals are higher than 10 feet. And so when you have that, when you develop those relationships, and we all know they're built over time, they seen, you know, me on the sidelines in the preseason, taking notes and going to converse with Coach. And it was a process of really getting to know these guys on a more personal note. And some of them already knew me.
Right.
And developed that trust. And from that forth on, man, then when you're on the, let's talk about the basketball side of Coach gave me the opportunity to work with a lot of these guys. They can discern the difference between real work and phony work.
Oh, yeah.
And they know, I'm not doing no phony work. It's about real work with me and the sweat equity that myself and Coach Topper used to get out there outside of our normal practice hours, unrequired work. And so those guys, when you build sweat equity with those guys, then the trust factor come in as well.
What do y'all need, Coach? Because we know the rules, and you can't speak specifically about, but what do you look at that roster? You know what's gone. What do you feel like? What do you and Penny feel like you guys need right now?
Like where we at? We're looking for guys that's willing to be selfless and to have the ability, the innate ability to continue to chase championships. That have the we mentality, you know, this winning everything mentality. And so those are type of student athletes that we're looking for, that we're going to kiosk the whole country, be behind the bushes, turn every rock, and try to get those guys that want to chase championships that have a believe-in mindset, because if you believe in, you're going to buy in to the culture. The culture is set now. Ain't no turning back. We've established our culture, and that culture – we was created to build and win championships, and the only way we're going to do that, you got to buy into the culture.
We are, of course, talking to Jermaine Johnson, University of Memphis assistant basketball coach here on the show. I noticed that you did not mention any specific positions there, Coach.
Positions.
You kept that pretty general there.
Yeah, because there's only two positions, John. On the court and off the court. Either you're going to be on the court.
Man, you've been doing this a long time. You know.
Hold on. Now, when you're on these two-hour Zoom calls, are the folks on the other side of the screen buying that?
That's a great question. I think
because it sounds good. It sounds good. I like it. But like you know, I mean, you know, it's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah. But think about how the game has evolved. Back in the day when me and Jason was at Snowden, we had a point guard. Most coaches would say it'd be a one. You had a shooting guard. Most coaches would say it'd be the two. Small forward is a 3, 4, 5. Well, in this day and age, there are no positions. It's player. It's basketball player. If you're a basketball player that can dribble, pass, and shoot or defend, then you're going to be on the court. If you're a guy that won't defend, that won't take charges, that won't make the extra pass, then you'll be off the court. And that's simple. Simply put.
No,
you do those things.
Yeah, no, I think when you if we know what we think we know about your roster next season, which look the lot of really impressive additions that you can't quite talk about just yet because they're not official. Penny has talked about it since he's been here, positionless, and it almost sounds cliche, but like next year, it really will be like don't you feel like pretty much every guy on your roster is going to be able to and might have to play multiple positions, in different lineups?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we got a bunch of student athletes that can all dribble, that can all pass, and obviously they'll be able to shoot. As long as we continue to grow and take the us shots, the uncontested shots, make the extra pass, create opportunities from our defense while defense becomes our offense, we'll be fine. And stay clutter-free. Winning teams are clutter-free. Confidence is contagious. Never compromise your culture. And we'll get what we're really trying to get to, and that's win a national championship.
Coach, through your eyes, biggest difference between the 6-5 start and the 14-3 finish to where you're playing a Final Four team within a possession in two games in Houston, what was the biggest difference between the start and the finish to you?
The biggest difference, in my opinion, was leadership. And the best teams are player-led. And once the players start leading and start taking initiative into trusting one another, respecting one another, liking one another, it became fun. And so as you can see, we was able to reel off. I think we went 13-2 our last right after the pause and, half-court shot. 12-13 missed free throws from getting to the NCAA tournament. You saw a player-led team that believed in the system, that believed in the coaching staff, that they believed in one another, and you saw them do some things that didn't quite look optimistic at first, but then, they saw the light at the end of the tunnel.
You guys have benefited from the transfer portal. You have lost some guys to the transfer portal. I'm just curious, just your big picture view of this thing, and we expect certainly that all these guys will be able to play next season and that they'll have that one-time transfer without penalty. When the dust settles on all of this, though, JJ, do you think the overwhelming majority of players will think, I made the right decision? And we're talking about 1,300 kids, right, plus. Mm-hmm. Or do you think we look back and the overwhelming majority of these guys find that, hey, man, maybe I didn't realize how good I had it at my last stop?
Man, I think that's a great question. That's twofold. I mean, I think some will make decisions where it'll be, holistically it'd be better for them, in a new environment, more playing time, better statistics. But then they may not win. Or it could be new environment, I made a decision, and it worked out perfectly. Or, I forgot about this one, the grass could be green on the other side, but it could be artificial.
Could be turf.
Damn, some
it
turf.
It could be turf.
What does that mean? I need you to elaborate on that one because I didn't know what that one means, JJ. What does that mean?
That one simply means that the grass is green, but most times you can pick up grass. You can see the dirt up under the grass. But then when you get that turf, when you fall on that turf, ooh, it burns, man. It's bad. You don't want turf burns. You don't want turf toe.
Yes.
And so it can be ugly, you know. And so I kind of think it's threefold. I was saying twofold. I think it can be threefold. So, but hey, that's why you got to be risk takers and take chances.
Yeah. Well, I remember as a Raider fan, Darren McFadden had a very tough case of turf toe. It kept him out for weeks. You know, so you definitely
get that black stuff in your eyes messing with turf too. A little black, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't want to get it. You're exactly right, Jermaine. Well, look,
Coach,
man,
you are a poet.
This has been a lot of fun, and
we're
going
to have to do it again, Coach.
Yeah, love absolutely.
It. Hey, man, anytime Apollo called me, man, you know I'm here.
Apollo,
man, get the hell on.
Wow. Thanks, Jermaine. Appreciate the time, man.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
He is Jermaine Johnson, University of Memphis assistant coach.